wanna go down to the deep end and get back what's gone round and you've been keeping down the aisles between the rows. Ooh, yeah, I wanna go down.
And we're back.
Once again.
Movie Mayhem Podcast, your boy is Matt.
Brian.
And we figured out a theme.
We did it.
We know what we're doing.
Finally,
now.
We took February to figure out a theme.
Yes. We had to do research.
Yeah.
We had to look at the stats. Look at the numbers.
I've had a whole bunch of themes in my head running around, but I was like, I think this is the one. This could be a good one.
Yeah.
Because I was like, let's pick like five episodes we did back way, way, way back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and redo those.
Oh,
movies.
A little revamp.
Because that's always been an idea.
Yeah, that's true. We've talked about that before because obviously we've got this thing down.
That's right.
A little bit more.
Yeah, now. We're better reviewers now.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not just two crazy kids.
Well,
two crazy older men.
Yes, yeah.
what is it? There's the crime month where we pick like crime movies.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Kaiju month where we do old kaiju movies.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Inspired by
last episode.
But Godzilla Minus One still not yet on VOD or Blu-ray.
It'll get there.
And then this one came up.
Yeah, we a couple weeks ago we were. Or maybe 3 weeks ago at this point.
Chit-chatting.
Yeah, we were shooting the shit, looking for a movie to watch.
Yep.
We saw this one pop up
and
thought, hey.
This is going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? So we got around to watching it now, and we decided, you know what? Hey, this guy's pretty good.
This is pretty good.
You know? So the movie we're doing, as you saw from the title when you clicked on the video, is Collateral.
That's right.
2004. Michael Mann directed, starring Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx.
And a lot of other people that I didn't remember were there.
Me too. Right? And I think I know who you're talking about. I'm talking about this a very, very clearly Latin-presenting guy knocking on the door. Ramon, you know, abre la puerta. You know, tenemos tu viejo. And then he gets in there and he goes, Ramon, ¿dónde está? You know, and then I'm looking at it and he sees Ramon's not there, takes out a walkie-talkie, and all of a sudden he's Mark Ruffalo.
That's right.
Goes, hey, listen. Hey,
Kenosha,
listen.
Wisconsin zone, baby.
Yeah. Suddenly he's, as if they ADR'd someone else's, like, Hispanic voice.
I was going to say, because, like, you know, I Mark Ruffalo always kind of like, you know, he could kind of be, you know,
he's a little ambiguous.
He could be a little Italian. He could be a little not Italian or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, and then he's like, starts drums like, oh, saying like Ramon. I'm like, oh man, like,
dude, I didn't even know it was him.
That slick back hair.
Yeah.
I was like, because when he walks in, I'm like, is that fucking Mark Ruffalo?
No, I know.
Slick back, street tough Mark Ruffalo.
Right. Well, maybe it was the slick back and street tough.
Yeah.
That are very antagonistic to Mark Ruffalo. That, yeah. Like, when he started talking in his regular voice, I was like, oh my God, that's Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, wow. I was shocked. He was one of the more pleasant surprises, I think, were there.
I didn't recognize Jada Pinkett Smith with hair.
Whoa. We gotta be careful.
I know.
Be careful.
But it gets slapped.
I was like...
Better keep her name on my fucking
that's
mind.
That's right. You know? When I saw Jada, I was like, oh man, that's cool. And then she starts arguing with Jamie Foxx. Yep, that's Jada.
Yeah,
like always just gotta argue.
She's married to Will in the movie.
Yeah. I'm kidding. She seems like a very nice person. Sure.
So
I don't want to get hit by Will.
I get it. He's got big hands.
Yeah. I got a fat face, and it just is a mix.
It's not a good combo.
not a good combo.
But we saw this movie, and we were riding kind of high. Yeah. You know, we last year the 7th Mission Impossible movie came out. And I think we were on a high of just appreciating Tom Cruise as a movie star.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, man of the people, very normal man, very down to earth.
Get a beer with him.
Got it, you know, he does normal things.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is an insane person.
Yeah, he's possibly a psychopath
who is involved with Scientology deep.
Deep.
A high-ranking member of Church of Sociology. Scientology. Anything but. The Church of Scientology.
The man, to say the least, is possibly one of the craziest human beings alive.
Yeah.
Not just the all the dark, seedy shit.
Not just that he might have kidnapped Katie Holmes at one point.
And ruined her career.
Yeah.
And may have, like, arranged... relationships. Yeah. But that's here, neither here nor there. We're not going to talk about that because that's his own personal business, and you know, it's.
Well, it's separating the man from the art.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. Also, he may go when he drives his motorcycle around town, he may have a guy follow him around so that when he parks his car, the guy gets out of his car and parks his motorcycle, the guy then backs his motorcycle into a spot for Tom Cruise.
Hmm.
He may, you know.
That's true.
That is true.
He can't back that thing up?
He doesn't want to.
Oh.
He just does it so someone else does it.
So that he can get off and
then
walk?
He can go out and do whatever he wants to do. So this guy probably just like triple parks because he's Tom Cruise.
So he carries his own valet with him.
Yeah. He.
What does the guy do with his car while he just moves Tom Cruise's car?
I think he puts the car in standing.
So he quadruple parks.
Yeah, so it's like it's a backup. So it's a whole like traffic situation.
Wow.
I know he travels when he goes to the films movies. He has like a gym
mm-hmm.
built in to like the set.
Well, The Rock does that too.
The Rock does that too. Yeah. But like, Tom Cruise is a little man.
Yeah.
Like,
Tom
Cruise ain't The Rock. Because also, like,
he's in very good shape, though.
Oh, yeah. Because he's insane.
Yes.
Because he is a very driven, purpose-filled man.
Yeah.
Who is a lunatic.
Correct.
Who I feel like if he goes on one of those, like, Alpha Bro podcasts, he would make those mm-hmm. Alpha Bros feel like shit because of, like, shit he does normally.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even, like, oh, I'm not out here gonna flex. He's like, no, I'm gonna jump out of an airplane with my eyes open. Like, it's like, oh my God. Stop, Tom.
And I'm going to make the cameraman follow me.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump. You finally saw Mission Impossible 7, right?
Yeah.
When he jumps out of the off the fucking cliff.
Yes.
And crashes into the train.
Ugh.
You go, crashing into the train wasn't that crazy.
Right.
That's not the craziest part of this whole thing.
The insanity level is so high that it's like separate bits. Right. If you take any portion of the stunt, it's its own main stunt of any other movie.
Right. I think the craziest part was him like having like a slight second doubt of like, oh, I gotta make this jump. It's like you were making that jump.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like you're just crazy enough to
get it. The him acting as an action star is not him acting like he's cool enough to do this. It's him acting as if the character would have as somebody who would have any doubt that they couldn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The doubt is the crazy.
The doubt is the acting.
I always love Tom Cruise when he's like at his most ridiculous.
Mm.
This movie,
like his most cocky.
Like yeah, when he's just like out there, just fucking 360 spinning, whatever. Like
what movie comes to mind when you think of that?
So like, I fucking loved Top Gun Maverick was fucking amazing. Even though it's completely pointless and unnecessary to the whole point of it saved cinema.
It
saved the world.
That's what they say.
It did. It did, though.
They say it because it's true.
It's true. It happened. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatching all of the Mission Impossibles before Mission Impossible 7,
mm-hmm.
just, I was indoctrinated. I mean, I was enthralled. Wow. I mean, he is...
I didn't notice a lot of spaghetti in your kitchen.
Right? Just, no pills.
Yeah.
No postpartum pills. he's... Like, it was it Mission Impossible, Henry Cavill?
Six.
Just out there just doing stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, hearing all the behind-the-scenes interviews where they're like, Henry Cavill's like, yeah, I kind of want to do this stunt. He's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting his foot down to Superman and be like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Only I can do this.
Crazy.
Right?
He's a crazy guy.
He's a crazy man.
And his career spans decades. You know, Risky Business, A Few Good Men.
Four decades.
Yeah. Jerry Maguire,
Color of Money.
Yeah.
Days of Thunder.
Dude's just got, like, a backlog
mm-hmm.
until he sort of honed himself in on action.
Yeah.
You know, he became an actor. I guess he figured that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he reached the point. I think after Jerry Maguire, they were like, all right, well, no one sees you as a romantic lead anymore.
Mm-hmm.
so he's like, all right, well, I guess I'll fucking...
Well, I think that's like the... It's like a parallel that he has with The Rock's career, where like not only are they both extremely driven and extremely focused and extremely regimented, right? They bring their own gym to their set and whatever. They're known. They sort of honed in on the action star, to become like multi-billionaires, right? By realizing what works, sticking to it, and developing a brand that they protect very vehemently, like Tom Cruise.
No, sorry, they just updated real quick.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
So Tom, like, it's like The Rock you know, that notorious contract where he couldn't lose a fight in his movies.
I think he's softening on that because he's doing an A24 movie.
What?
About an MMA fighter. I think it's called the Hit Machine, something, Smash Machine or some shit.
That's crazy.
Some like weird fucking A24 movie.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. But like, yeah.
Where like, you know, he has to come out on top of it. They have to be like PG-13, like family friendly kind of movies, you know, because he he's playing to the money, he's playing to the odds to the mass audiences.
Even though his best movie was Pain and Gain,
yeah,
Pain and Gain was the best thing he's ever done.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Fast Five is up there too, though. Fast Five was really good.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, and then you take Tom Cruise, who also has this like kind of a he himself is marred with controversy, but his career is pretty clean cut at this point, where he will do action movies where he is the good guy.
Right.
He's not wrong. He is tall. Mm. And
he's a very tall, 6'2" man.
Right. and the good guy wins in the end. Controversy, no nothing outside the lines.
I think there is a difference right now, and I still think, because The Rock is still relatively new in his acting career.
Compared to Tom Cruise. Sure.
Because, like, if you just take the Mission Impossible movies, it spans almost all of The Rock's career. Because it started, like, 96.
Probably longer, yeah. Probably,
yeah.
Like, The Rock's career on television in general.
Like, if you want to... All right, so Mummy 2.
Mummy Returns?
The Mummy Returns is where The Rock started.
Yeah, that was 2001?
2001.
Yeah.
But if you take the Mission Impossible movies, the 6 Mission Impossible movies...
From the 96?
96 till just now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the entire Rock's career.
Yeah.
So, I think... at a point, Tom Cruise realized he couldn't be impervious to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, I think it's more like Tropic Thunder's, where he kind of turned to be like, okay, I could make fun of myself and do something, like, and then you even see in like the Mission Impossible movies where he will like fail a little bit and kind of like get hurt, and then it's like, oh, so he's kind of human.
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing. It's like kind of snatching success from failure's grasp.
Right.
That Indiana Jones did really well.
Mm.
You know, and also like Tom is getting older, and he kind of works that into the action too. He's realized that or at least, you know, Chris McQuarrie, the director, realized that, you know, if he's just perfect and impervious all the time, then nobody is going to be invested.
He doesn't become... It's a Superman problem.
It's the Superman problem. There's no stakes.
Yeah.
So he does work that in, but eventually Tom does it because eventually he knows he's going to win.
He's going to win. He's still going to win. Like, is he going to face a faceless AI that hires random hitmen and win? Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It's going to take two movies.
Yes. Yes. You got to stretch that out. Whereas, like, The Rock, perhaps, I don't know. What's the last... couple movies The Rock even put out?
He did Jungle Cruise.
How long ago was that?
That was like 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
Black Adam.
Yeah, which the main problem there
is
he was the Superman problem. Superman,
yeah. Yeah. He did shit.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I know he did Die Hard with one leg.
Right. That was the biggest attempt.
That was his most like, I'm a human, guys. Yeah. I'm not a full...
That's the only thing you could do to make The Rock seem somewhat vulnerable is take an entire leg away.
But he still did shit, like normal, like not even normal people, like extra human people. Like he jumped from a crane to a building, which was like 90 feet away.
Which people can't really do with both legs.
Both legs and a jetpack.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it takes a real good running start.
I think that's, and as far as his action goes, is very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the one thing they do have in common, though, is that they're both very lawful good in their movies. They are the good guy that is goes without saying, and it's almost always the case.
Right.
And without compromise, they have to be the good guy. Except
this one.
Except this one movie from 2004.
But when they get to be the bad guy, I feel like it really kind of shines.
It really fucking works.
Because, like, it's the same issue I had with Chris Evans in Knives Out.
Mm.
Like, especially the first time you see, like, I've trusted this person for so long.
Yes.
And then when they become so evil, it's like, son of a bitch.
And then it's almost, got me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, he's an asshole, but he's Chris Evans. There's got to be something good under there.
That's like maybe he's just, you know, he's got a heart of gold under that rough exterior.
Right.
Oh, no, he's a murderer. Okay. Oh, okay. Spoiler alert.
Oh, he's exactly who he
is. Yeah, who he says he is. Oh, shit.
Wow. And that's what's so good about Collateral.
Mm.
Is that you see all the kind of like the cool, the somewhat suave, the in control, the confidence, the cockiness, the swagger that Tom Cruise brings to his action movies that we've all come to love, and you see it in a Tom Cruise way.
Right.
You know, that's more terrifying than anything.
When Tom Cruise is turned evil.
Yes.
It's like that focus, that drive, that like...
Or rather, when Tom Cruise stops pretending he's good.
Right. Yeah. When the mask falls.
Yes, yeah. When the mask falters a little bit.
It's like, yeah, this guy would do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's so believable. Because Tom Cruise is actually that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Collateral really does that in a really, really great way. Enhanced by the extremely believable and compassionate and empathetic role that Jamie Foxx plays.
Yes.
Was it this or Ray that made everybody realize that Jamie Foxx is that guy? Well, that he's that leading man guy.
I think Ray, he won an Academy Award. But I think this put people on notice.
Yeah.
Because it was his basically... one of his first real goes at like toe to toe with a superstar.
Yeah, dramatic acting against a big star.
Right, and like you could kill Tom Cruise about his acting choice, about a lot of his acting. Like he was, if you're a younger listener or whatever, like in like the 90s, Tom Cruise was the fucking man.
Yeah.
Like he did like three movies. I know he did Far and Away, which is about like Irish immigrants, which is really good because I watched it in history class. A Few Good Men, which is basically like what Jamie Foxx went through, where he goes toe to toe with a guy who, in a previous generation, was the fucking man.
The fucking man.
And then Jerry Maguire, which is like, all right, it's a schmaltzy kind of rom-com drama and all that shit, but like it still takes a certain like level of like commitment and acting to give to those roles.
Yeah.
But like, and Jamie Foxx, like originally, I don't think he did, I don't know what he did beforehand. I know
the Jamie Foxx show.
The Jamie Foxx show. Yes. And then
like acting wise? Yeah, like acting, movie wise?
Yeah, movie wise. Like, I don't think he was really
like that deep into it. It took him a while to break out.
Exactly. Right. Like, yeah, he would, like, Jamie Foxx was always this kind of like magnetic personality because I know he was in Living Color. He was in.
But you saw him as just like a comedy guy.
Exactly. Comedy guy before.
That's how I saw him when his show was out and stuff.
Let's see.
You didn't even recognize like the music too.
Before this, he did Breaking All the Rules.
Which one was that? All right, Say Less, yeah.
Yeah. Inspired by his fiance who dumped him, a man published a breakup handbook for men, becoming a best-selling author in the process.
Oh, yeah. Did he have weird hair in that?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was in... Oh, he had a supporting role in Ali.
Oh, okay.
But that wasn't his movie.
Right.
And Any Given Sunday. Those were, like,
his... Yeah, okay.
So
yeah.
He was, like... He was around it, but he wasn't in it.
Right. He was still waiting for that role.
That role,
trying to build himself up. And this...
I think he did it.
I think he did it, man. He rose to the occasion.
I think, like, he... Like, it's a special kind of, like, to be sympathetic... in an action
that's movie. The word I was looking for,
and like not look like, oh, this is just a weak person,
right,
as I'm gonna put on my alpha cap for a second. If you don't want to look like a man without value,
yeah.
No, it's like he wasn't like a sniveling coward.
No,
he was a man reacting to being involved in murders.
Yes.
And then stepping up to, and then he also had his issues of like, because Vincent, Tom Cruise, would be like, oh, you never did anything, you never took the leap, you never, and then at the end where he's like, I'm just going to fucking shoot you in this empty subway.
Yeah, the character arc that Vincent allows Max to go on, that he propels Max onto, is really well done. It's classic. This is like, there's so many like classic writing methods used in this for these two characters. There's like the what the character wants versus what the character needs. There's foils. There's... rising. There's like a huge rise, midpoint shift, and then further rise to a con, like the direction shift, and then the climax and resolution. Right. There's so many classic storytelling conventions that are done really, really well. There's like characters with fatal flaws, you know, and like overcoming those flaws through trials. It's really like a clinic on how to write good characters and a good story.
And you know what's funny?
Yeah.
The guy who wrote this movie did not write a lot of good movies.
Really?
He wrote like maybe two or three.
Did someone punch up the script?
It's credited as for one writer though. This guy, Stuart Beatty.
Mm-hmm. And I thought this was based on like a book or something.
It could have been based on so he wrote Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one.
That's a good one.
And then he did Obi-Wan, the TV show.
Okay.
So let's see.
That's a big gap though.
No, okay. So he did Pirates, the first movie.
That's a good one.
Then he did 30 Days a Night, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He did Australia.
Is that the Hugh one that's Jackman. Like a Western one?
Yeah, okay. Hugh Jackman. Yeah. Then he did G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra. Then he did... I'm trying to... Because he has a lot of credit. Oh, I, Frankenstein.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, he said some
here and there. Here and there. Hits and misses.
Yeah, the right? The Pirates one, really, because like, that has like four fucking or five like hits because he has character creation.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
So yeah, But I'll say this: he did it with this one.
He did it with this
he
one.
Did he did it
really,
with this one.
He really came through.
Yeah, like just the way he propels his story forward with an inciting incident, you know, which is, if I had to put it somewhere, I'd probably put it with Ramon crashing into the cab.
I still, that's one of the like the best line like. Saying like you killed him. Well, no, the bullet's in the fault that I just shot him.
Yes, yeah. It's so cold.
Yeah.
But when it's so good, why that's so good as an inciting incident is that for both characters it indicates a point of no return.
Right.
Right?
Like you're in it now.
Right. Your cab is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot like keep going the way you were going. Right? And also, you witnessed a murder.
Right.
So, you know, whereas, and even from Vincent's point of view, where it's like they indicated at some point that his MO is to have a taxi drive him around the city as he does his work.
Right.
And then he kills the cab driver, pins it on him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Once Max saw him do this, once he realized, okay, Max is in on this, he had to make a choice. To either kill Max on the spot.
Right. Or.
Or take him along. Right. And.
Yeah. And also like Max proved his usefulness by his little funny trait of like, I know how long things are going to take for me to get
there. Right. Right.
So it's like, oh, okay.
So he knows the city real well. He's the Michael Mann analog.
Right. Yeah.
He knows the city so well. And he seems like a guy. I think maybe Vincent, you know. Had this conversation with Max where Max is talking about, yeah, you know, I got other things that I want to do. This is just a placeholder. Because how long have you been doing it? 12 years.
That's not a placeholder.
Right. And I think Vincent kind of realized, like, this is a guy that, you know, is, he's in his own way.
Right.
And, you know, he's a good guy. He's a nice guy. But he stopped himself. He can't take that leap.
Right.
And I think perhaps Vincent felt it had a little soft spot for that.
I think he kind of saw, maybe he saw something like of himself in Max.
Yeah, well, because they're diametrically opposed in that way specifically.
Right, yeah. Right?
How Vincent's all action.
Mm.
He's the type of guy.
It's all about that action.
He plays by, yeah, he plays all about that action.
All about that action, boss.
Yes, he plays by his own rules and whatever he wants to do, he will find a cold way to justify it and he will do it. And that's the thing. Whereas like Max, he will find every reason not to do what he wants to do.
I think the perfect way of describing it, think best seen in the jazz club scene where when I was watching this, of course I had, you know, my phone out.
Yeah.
I kind of do it every so often now. I don't do it as much, especially when I'm like super involved in a movie.
Well, you have your headphones on too.
I do have the headphones on. I loved it. But so the I said on our Twitter, I go, the Hollywood's been trying to make jazz white guy jazz fans cool for like 50 years and it still doesn't work. Like, and even though like Tom Cruise is like, oh, you got to listen, like I go, oh, I've heard this so many times in movies. Right? It's not behind, what they're playing. It's what behind, like, shut up. Yeah, it's
behind the notes.
It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then having this sit down where it's like, oh, like, you think, like, they're just taking a second and, like, maybe this is Vincent trying to show Max, like, yeah, this guy followed his dreams. He owns the club. He was a musician. And then when he's like, oh, I'll make sure to tell the people back in Cartagena and forgot the other Chattanooga. In Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
and it's like you just kind of feel the floor drop out and like, oh shit. Like, this was a plan. Like, this was always going to be the plan. Like, he was buttering up this whole idea of like, oh, I have maybe he could be saved. Maybe he doesn't have to keep doing this. It's just like, no, I'm just using this and using you to get closer to do my job. And then when they were like starting to argue and he just kind of cracks his head over. He's like, I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, he's been working this whole time. Like, he just, it's a different like layer to Vincent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. At where. Yeah. I mean, I do think he's probably genuinely a jazz fan.
Yeah. That's the worst thing about him.
That's the, yeah, right? Because he did know that about Miles Davis, that he dropped out of Juilliard, you know. But you don't think that he ever, that if the guy had gotten that right.
He still would have killed him.
He still would have killed
him.
Because that was the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there's a point where Max, the switch flips.
Right.
Right? And he's like, and he changes, he starts becoming a man of action as well.
Right.
Right? And I think that was an opportunity, that jazz scene was an opportunity for Vincent to switch, to flip a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, you know, maybe I can allow myself to empathize with people and show compassion that, and he chose not to.
Right. Because there was this whole thing of like him saying like, oh, you got to improvise, you got to adapt, you got to, you know, I forgot what the fucking, he listed to,
Darwin.
Darwin, yeah. And it's like, and Max is like, oh, I don't get that. But it's like, he's not improvising at all.
He's not doing it.
Right. He's just saying for you. He sticks to his
plan no matter what.
Exactly. Like, everything he's accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the whole, like, getting pulled over by the cops. It's like, you better do it or I'll kill him.
Yeah.
You better do it or I'll kill him.
He only has one reaction to everything.
Yep.
You know? Even, like, when Max destroys his briefcase. It's like, well, job's not done.
Yep. So gotta go get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? So, he's improvising, kind of, but he's not changing his plan.
Right.
He just changes how he completes his plan, you know, because he has to.
Right.
But he never once thinks, well, maybe I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. Maybe I cannot do what I started this evening wanting to do. So he's improvising a little bit, but he's not truly changing.
No.
He's not truly adapting.
No.
Whereas like Max, every step he has to step out of himself and do something that he would never do.
Right.
To the point where it does change him. So, as we see toward the end, for the better.
Yeah.
Right? And it's his... If you look at the end scene, which we'll go into in a little bit, it's him stepping out of his comfort zone and trying something and making the move that saves him, whereas Vincent doing what he's been... sticking to his habit of what got him to where he is and just doing that is what gets him killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you talking about
the bullet holes?
The bullet holes?
Yes.
The two in the middle and the one on the
top? The Mezzagumbo technique.
Yeah. And then Max just kind of sprang wildly. Yep.
Closing his eyes. He got lucky with the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because that's happened to be, he hit the junction of the doors where Max hit everything else.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, but that was earned. That was earned through an entire movie of Max slowly becoming more affirmative and spontaneous and adaptable.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good stuff.
No, 100%. Yeah, because this is a weird, wild, also tangent thing. Is it just me, or when people in different cities, like especially in movies, or like, and they start talking about like directions, and you're just like, this is all nonsense. Like, oh, just gonna go down the, like, for me, it sounded like, this is fucking, like.
People don't think like this.
Yeah. But I guess in LA, because the traffic is so bad.
Yeah.
They had to, like, oh, this 48 foot, like, 58 fucking steps.
Right, right.
To, like, one thing.
And like, everyone else that he's talking to can follow him.
Right.
It's like Annie is like, oh, but, you know, the tourists are there. You know, you want to go here. And there's this.
Everyone, like, has their own, like, their special own, thing.
Yeah. But I guess you could say that about the New York subway system, too.
Yeah, I guess,
you
know, so.
Like,
yeah.
Like, if you say you want to get somewhere, like, three New Yorkers, like, within a 5-foot radius, we'll be like, oh, no, you got to take this and transfer here.
Right,
and
he's
like,
right.
No, that transfer's going to take forever. It's a Saturday night. You gotta go up and take this one. I'm telling you, you should just walk it.
Right.
You should just walk it. You got three different ways to get to this place, right? And to anybody who's not from New York, it does, none of those things sound like real things.
Right, yeah. You know? Again, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I respect it as a person who likes, especially on Long Island, like, random fucking directions myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're a big directions
fan. Yeah, and, like, but hearing, like, other things is like, I don't know this. Mm-hmm. This makes me feel dumb.
Right,
like,
there's no frame of reference.
It's like, you could be saying fucking nonsense, like, these could all be fake places.
Right, they could. Right. They might be.
They might be
But fake considering places. It's Michael Mann, they're probably not. True, yeah. They're probably real places. But,
I was going to say, Michael, this is another movie where, I read on IMDb, where a movie he's made where people using guns have been used as, like,
standard. Yes, really, really well done, yep. Well trained actors.
Yep.
Tom Cruise looked like John Wick out there, ten years before John Wick came out.
He took the taxi so John Wick could globally trot around
in a Mustang.
In a Mustang. Like, the fucking, like, how smooth, like, and this is also probably. All right, Tom, you're going to have some weapons training. I already had it. Thank you. No. All right, just a little extra. You have to do it. All right, fine.
Yep.
You know, I've been in 36 fucking action movies already by now.
So I think he probably...
He went in fucking...
Went in, yeah. Because, like, if you look at the scene... Everyone looks at the scene where he kills those two muggers.
Right.
That's the scene that everybody looks at.
Yo, homie.
Yo, homie. Is that my briefcase?
I couldn't stop laughing when he said that.
Like, what was that?
Like, come on.
Was that an acting choice? Was that, like, a mocking thing? Like, what was that? Thank God they were white.
You know? That's the funniest. That was even the funniest part. Yeah. Was that they were all, like, they were white.
Everyone
guys.
Involved was white.
Everyone involved. And it's just like, yo, homie. It's like, God damn. And then he
doesn't say anything like that throughout the rest of the movie.
No. Nope.
It's just that one thing.
To those two douches.
What? How?
Yeah. Yo, homie.
Yo, homie.
Sorry.
Weird. Yeah. But anyway, yes, in that scene, people talk about that scene because he does everything right in that scene. Like, to the point where, like, people were watching, like, if you're a gun expert and you watch it, you would be surprised at how well he did that. Like, he grabs it. He like brings the hand up, turns over so you don't see the gun coming.
Right.
Draws it, keeps it at the hip because you're super close.
Right.
Pow pow two, and then turn your over, change your stance, lock in 2-1.
Right.
And then you finish the last guy off with the 1.
Yeah.
All within 3 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just so quick and smooth, like fluid.
Yeah.
Like it's super impressive to see like that.
Yeah.
Like, especially from an actor of his. Like, caliber.
Yes.
Because you could see, like, you could watch movies and you could see, like, especially, like, certain physical activities, they're like, this person didn't care enough to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always feel that about, like, when I watch baseball movies or, like, any sports movies.
Yeah.
And you were watching them kind of, like, either throw or just kind of, like, play the game a little bit.
There's no fundamentals.
And there's, like, and, like, you're like, how the fuck did they let you just go through this?
Right. Like, obviously you can't expect someone to be, like... expect
him to be a pro base. I just expect him to be semi-competent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, certain things, like, your body can do when you know, when you know the fundamentals. Like, all right, well, I know I have to, if you're throwing, you're like, you know, I have to put one arm kind of in front to kind of, that's my guide, and then that throw. Mm-hmm. But if you just see, like, somebody just kind of, like, wildly, and then, or, like, even swinging. Like, if you see someone just swinging a baseball bat, and this, because now I think a lot of the baseball is now CGI'd.
Huh.
So, like, you could see, like, this little CGI ball come in. And
so they're not even swinging at anything.
Not even swinging at anything. So you could see by their feet, like, they're not shifting their weight. They're not moving anything around. They're just moving their arms.
Mm.
And that annoys the shit out of me.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm pretty sure when, like, gun enthusiasts or, like, people who have, like, learned this in, like, in the military or in any kind of, like, arm detail, seeing that, it's got to be like, I respect the shit out of that.
Hell yeah, because action is such a prevalent franchise, prevalent genre,
right?
More so than baseball movies. So they probably see every, like, multiple times a year, they probably see movies where they get everything wrong.
Just think of a Tom Cruise baseball movie. He'd be able to pitch. Wow. He'll be able to pitch like a major league game.
Yeah,
like he would shut be out. So like he'd be like perfect game right off the bat.
What position would Tom Cruise play?
I think he would be. Ooh, that's a good one. I think young Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm. Collateral Tom Cruise.
Collateral Tom Cruise. Third base.
Okay.
I think he'd be handling the hot corner. Mm. He doesn't move. He doesn't move as well as he used to as a young man. Mm. I think.
Is that like the third base kind of a? Situation where like you put the guy there that like you don't have to do a lot of moving, but you gotta have like the instinct and the fundamentals down.
Yeah, kind of. Cause also like, I mean, if he was like a wider guy, you put him at first because there's less moving. Mm. Like you just kind of stand and catch the ball. But I feel like because he is such an athletic guy, he still can move relatively well. But you want to give him like. The barrier of like foul territory to make sure he doesn't have to go too far.
Right.
So like he'll and
but
you.
But a prime Tom Cruise, you put it like second or shortstop.
I put him at shortstop or center field. Yeah. Two of the most like highly skilled positions.
Well, you could Tom Cruise run to get the ball.
When Jamie the hospital scene.
Yeah.
When Jamie Foxx is running out, I was like, "Don't run! He's gonna catch you!"
Yes.
Like, and you just see Tom Cruise just fucking thumbs his thighs. Like he's like, "Oh, there he goes."
It he looked like a Terminator.
Yeah.
They like Michael Mann shifted the genre from action to horror
mm-hmm.
so well. Because he first he shows you what Tom Cruise will do when he finds you
right.
in the action scenes. And then he establishes with that running that, like, he will find you.
Yeah, he will catch you. Yeah.
He's going to catch you.
It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Right. Yeah. So then you see them, like, trying to run, and you're just like, oh, God.
Don't do that.
yeah. Oh, boy.
I thought, like, when he was hunting down Jada in the and he cut the power, and then him, like, going through was pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, it was very intense to be, like, to, like, see him, like, skulk around, but with intent and not, like, I'm just here to kill things. He's like, I am going to locate, isolate, and then eliminate. Right. Like, that's kind of, like, how he was, like, moving. Because he is, like, that's his own, like, Jason or, like, Michael Myers kind of movement.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, had control of that entire room.
Right. And then when he runs, he just becomes a robot.
Yeah.
Because he's so cold throughout the movie.
Right.
That, like, he almost, like, when I was seeing him, like, throughout the movie, I was thinking, like, shark.
Mm.
Wolf.
Hell yeah.
You know? Just, like, what's behind his eyes.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes it's blank. You know?
Yeah, they had nothing behind there.
There's nothing there. Other times it's, like, hunger.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing with this performance is that, you know, he's got the cool, like Ethan Hunt, like confidence, like, oh, we're going to get it done.
Right.
But then behind it in this movie, the difference is behind it in this movie, you see Tom Cruise. You know? It's like the hungry, like malicious, just, killer.
It's like, what is there behind the eye? Like, is Ethan Hunt is powered by morality and, like, his duty to protect, like, as he's said in seven fucking movies, his duty overwhelms his own personal.
Right.
The mission. So when you see him, you could see behind his eyes, he's like, he's doing this for something else.
Yeah. He puts his crew before himself.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I just gotta, like.
It's always about the greater good for Ethan. It's never selfish.
And then when you look at Vincent, it's just like, nah, it's just this.
Yeah.
It's just what's on his plate right now.
Right. 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 And that's just. It's the same actor.
Yeah,
same guy. That's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Whew.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And then on top of that, he backs it up with the action.
Yeah.
You know, in that club scene, I'm watching him, just like, hell yeah! Like, this is some Tom. This is some John Wick shit. 10 years before John Wick.
Yeah.
This is really good fighting.
I also loved when they're in the by the end, they're in the taxi, and then, like, the fucking Audio Slave needle drop happens.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, was like, yeah.
This is 2004.
Like, this is so 2004.
Yeah, yo,
It's like, holy shit.
Yep. It was very... That brought me, I was like, oh my god, not more than like the flip phones.
Right.
That was just like, wow, this is an old movie.
The Nextel?
Yeah. It's like, what has happened? Whoa, this movie really is 20 years old. Yeah. Literally 20 years old.
I had that Motorola Razr, you know.
Really? You had a Razr?
I had a Razr.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's the movie dates itself mostly in that moment.
Yeah, and you know,
not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way. Yeah, it's not like it's like making like, oh, you know, President Bush only won by a hanging chad. It's like, oh, look at me, I'm hanging chad.
Like, it's you know when like you watch an 80s movie that's just like the synth and like the fucking Jane Fonda outfits that all the girls are wearing, and it's like oh yeah, like I wish I was alive in that. It's really nostalgic. Or like a 90s movie where, you know, they got like the crop tops and the big jeans and
the first like 10 minutes of Pleasantville.
Where it's just like, you know, the 90s was actually like kind of cool in retrospect. The Collateral is kind of that, where like it makes it look like 2004 was...
Everybody's wearing like fucking big button-down shirts.
Yeah. Yep.
Fucking... Yeah, it was...
He's got the hair and like the fucking sunglasses and everything. And
you know who also was in this movie we haven't brought up? Javier Bardem was in this
movie. Yes, he was.
Javier Bardem.
Crazy.
Yeah, he apparently learned English for this role.
No way.
This is the role that like he learned English for.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
What a fucking cast.
Just to tell a story about Pedro Negro.
Yeah.
How
do you think Santa would feel about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that scene I think was a pretty pivotal moment for Max.
Right, because he kind of like clicked in.
Yeah.
He's like, oh fuck, like.
He's like, I have to do this.
I can't pussyfoot around this. Because he could see the guy putting his hand on, like, and he's not, and he doesn't know him like he knows Vincent.
Right.
But it's like, oh, yeah.
He's like, but Vincent would be able to get his way out of this.
Right.
I have to be Vincent to get my way out of this.
Yeah.
And then from there, that kind of gives him, maybe not the confidence, but maybe it is the confidence.
I think it's definitely pushing him, because when he ran away with the Vincent's briefcase in the hospital, it's kind of like he was a child getting scolded.
Yeah.
But then this is just like, no, I can't run away. I have to run into it.
Right.
Kinda like he's now taking that that big step of like, I'm going to die if I keep acting the same way I've been.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now he's like, the only way out of this.
I
have to change. I have to adapt. I have to evolve.
Yeah.
And then. But he actually is, because he's like, because he doesn't have a plan. Unlike Vincent, who's like, oh, okay, if I have to shoot this guy on the left instead of this guy on the right, I'm still going to do what
both
I have to do.
Both of them are going to die.
Both of them will die.
Yeah.
Instead, but like Max, it's like, I have to get out of this so then I can have maybe an opportunity to find the police or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has to react to the things that are happening to him, where Tom Cruise. It's not reacting.
No.
He's just acting.
Just acting.
Yeah.
That's all he does, man. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Just straight acting.
Straight acting.
There's a fire going on. I think that's why that horn's going off.
Yeah,
Okay, we're about 43 minutes in.
Okay. All right.
Do you got anything else? Oh, also, they definitely were not there on that train.
Yeah, you saw that shot, right? You saw that shot,
those
right?
Green screen, like...
Woo!
I don't know who was filming what, but they were not filming that.
So. There was another scene. I don't think it was the train yet. Well, it looked like Jamie Foxx was on his side of the cab.
Right.
But Tom Cruise was not on his side of the cab.
it was so weird to like see Tom, and they kind of like sized him weirdly, because it's like you're looking at him straight on, but he's like a little further away.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened here?
Yeah, you saw that, right? That was weird. But I will say, though, in the scenes where they are there, I think a few of the things that Michael Mann does really, really well is, one, the lighting. The way he uses the fluorescent lights of, the cab, the gas stations that they stop at, the clubs that they go to.
Yeah.
There's such cold lighting.
Artificial.
Yeah, like, almost a green kind of tint to it.
Sickly.
Paints the city.
We never really talked about the cinematography either.
It's good.
It's like handheld.
Yeah.
I
noticed that it's a lot of steady when you're in Max's cab, but then when it gets to Tom Cruise before he gets in the cab, it's very handheld and shaky.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's an agent of chaos approaching the cab.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
The action was shot so well because. I guess Michael Mann really sends his guys to get trained.
Yeah, yeah. No, they, I mean, it looks like everyone's well prepared going into it.
Yeah.
And I did feel like Tom Cruise was just like chomping at the bit to be like, can we do the action scene now?
Yeah. Can I kill someone now?
Can I do? Can I lie on my back and start shooting people?
It was really cool. It was super cool. It was really cool. Oh, God.
Yeah. But yeah, like nothing felt over like produced. Nothing felt like overly like exposed. Like with the lighting, as you were saying, like that, like it's natural for us because we've been exposed to this like fluorescent world,
urban
like, yeah, lighting, yeah, where like street lights are like kind of lighting up the area.
Yeah,
and you look at it, it's like it's not a real color.
No,
it's like what the fuck is that? Like
it's weird.
Is it
yeah.
green? Is it white? Is it like right. yellow? Is it, like what is this?
You see a lot of like digital art about like, you know, kind of like almost like cyberpunk art. That shows like a kind of like a dystopian like for every the only lighting is like from a neon sign right. kind of yeah. thing. And this was like almost like a modern version of that. Yeah. You know, where LA it didn't even feel like a real city anymore. It felt like a dreamscape.
Right.
You know, because of the tone that the light sources gave to his character.
It felt like how the Matrix looked before like Neo woke
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Where it's yeah. like people exist in this, but you don't believe it.
It can't be a real place.
It can't be a real place. Because, yeah. like, even, like, when they were driving, I think it's like, no one's on these streets.
Right.
And, like, I get it, it's a move, but, like, it's also a major...
in the middle of the night and stuff, yeah. but, yeah.
It's a major... Like, because, like, for New Yorkers, like, seeing... Like, you could see maybe 100 people on the street
mm-hmm.
in, like, any area of New York. Like, you'll yeah. see, like, cars, you'll see, like, people kind of walking around. And it's just like, oh, okay, like there's life here.
Yeah, but an empty street in New York feels more dangerous.
Right, when mm-hmm. that's going on, you're like, oh, is there a gas leak or something?
Yeah,
like,
am I just not seeing the people that are
right.
there?
Right.
No, do I not see them yet?
Yeah, exactly. But like, in this, like going through this part of LA, and it's just like, there's no one on the highway. There's no mm-hmm. one on the business streets. And then when you see people in the subway, you're like, what are they doing there?
Right.
And also like, no one's running out.
Well, I'm kind of thinking like, okay, so it's about 4:30
in the morning
when he calls her.
Right.
Right? And so that means like when they're driving around, it's probably like starting at like 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And like, okay, maybe there's not a lot of people on the highway at that time.
Right.
And then when maybe when they get to the train, it's like people that are getting to work early.
Right, but like the train station, like, because if you think like the... Yeah, when he got to the office, it was around 4:30,
yeah.
and then they got on the train. Like, it's close to 5 a.m. You would think there'd be people, like, on the platform.
Yeah.
There's no one.
Right, so who is these people on the train?
Right.
And they seem like, you know, like, not even, like, kids who are partying or anything. They seem like
an old lady.
Like an old lady and stuff. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? What time? What are you doing? Yeah, you're right.
And it's not like they made an effort to show, like, oh, maybe they're homeless. Maybe they're just getting in there. Yeah. But, like, no, it's, like, this is, like, sterile streets, sterile everything. Like, even the subway seemed too clean to be
it did.
Real.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think L.A. is also, like, kind of New York, where it's open late. Like, everything, like...
Right?
I think, right? It's a major metropolitan area, like...
You would think.
Right.
Right, but, yeah.
Because, like, if this was filmed in, like, St. Louis, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense. Like, it seems to be like, oh, yeah, maybe they do close at 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it seemed like there was a nightclub. There was a lot going on.
And there was a police manhunt going on.
Yeah.
And it was quiet as all hell.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, Mark Ruffalo died.
Yeah.
So, mention that happened. The movie, I think... was anytime you have, like, a lot of the scenes that are very, like, contained,
mm-hmm.
like in that taxi cab,
right?
It's tough to make that dynamic and interesting, you know, and not just one shot, one dash shot, you know, for the whole thing.
Right.
And they're able to do that, I think, when they... Well, first of all, he cuts pretty frequently between, like, a close-up of Max, close-up of Vincent, showing both of them then.
Yeah.
And from, like, the side of the cab, you could, you know, looking in from the window... There's a, like, he's able to do a lot, get a lot of angles.
A lot of good framed shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that helps a lot to make these, like, conversations that they have a little more dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I think it's really good. And I think if you watch Heat and you liked it, you have to like Collateral.
Yeah.
And really, Michael Mann should probably make more movies.
Well, I know he made Ferrari last year.
Yeah.
Which I heard good things about, okay. But it was nowhere.
Right.
Like, it was like, we're going to have to wait for it to come out on VOD or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, he is making Heat 2, or Heat Preheat.
I heard that.
It's Preheat, because it's a prequel.
Warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lukewarm. It's, because it's like Austin Butler's playing Val Kilmer's character.
Yeah. I can see that.
He's an interesting guy, that Austin Butler.
Yeah.
He's a funny, funny, funny kid.
Yeah, he convinced himself he was Elvis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spoke like Elvis for the last 3 years. No, you didn't. You wanted to do that.
Exactly.
You can stop
still,
it.
You still do.
You stop this at any time.
Yeah. No, I got to go to speech therapy now to get that, get this out of me.
You know, I got to, I'll talk to my speech therapist and they're like, they slap me in the face like, stop it.
Yeah. My speech pathologist says there's nothing wrong with me.
Just yeah, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. Alright.
Alright,
let's give it a grade.
Let's give it a grade. I'm pretty high on it.
Man.
Pretty high on it. I'm somewhere between an 8 and a 9 on this.
I think I'm more in an 8 area. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I think I think it would be easy for me to give it an 8, then it'd be harder to give it a 9.
Right, me. Right. I mean, is it because it's like a smaller, more contained story?
I think, yeah. Also, like, it was quick.
Is it because the Yo Homie?
Yeah, the Yo Homie.
Yeah.
That one really threw me off. Yeah. That threw me completely off. No, I think maybe if it was a little bit longer. It was an hour 59. 40.
Yeah, at 59. Oh, yeah. Okay. Felt shorter.
Yeah, it did. Because it just clicked.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like maybe a 2-hour, 15-minute movie and like kind of got...
things breathe.
Because I would have liked to see like, did Mark Ruffalo's character die?
Yeah.
Because like...
he didn't head pop him.
Exactly. He got 2 in the chest.
Yeah.
And then he was down.
Yeah.
And like, was he wearing a vest? Like, I need
He was
like,
still kind of moving.
Yeah.
When they drove off.
I needed some closure from certain things.
Mm.
And then like... also... like, yeah, like, I needed to see, like, I mean, I know the whole, like, Vincent being left on the subway was foreshadowed when he was, like,
yeah.
I heard a man on the MTA was left.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's foreshadowed, but, like, still, you killed a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and they would know exactly where you are. Like, I kind of needed more closure on that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I get what they were doing from, like, a character view where
right.
you know maybe showing that everything he did with his life that's gotten him as a man who won't even be recognized on the subway
right
but from a narrative point of view you would have liked things wrapped up. I can see that for sure. I think in that situation they put character before narrative. I don't know how you feel about this. I feel like we could have learned a little bit more about Vincent's character.
I feel like
I know there's definitely benefit to keeping things
mystery. Yeah.
Yeah, keeping him a mystery guy, but he showed such like he saved Max a
right.
few times. Definitely showed a genuine connection there. And I've seen people say that Vincent, despite everything and how he lived his life, wanted to create genuine connection. And I didn't quite get that feeling when I watched the movie.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit with the mom. But, like, also, was that more of just, like...
just mocking Max.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed, like, maybe, like, when they ran into the FBI, and they're like, oh, Vincent. There's been rumors of a Vincent who's, like, a hired gun.
Yeah.
And, like, it kind of, like... so, like, with that, like, kind of small bit of dialogue, it's like, oh, he's been doing this a while, and he's kind of, like, a hired hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, like... it's kind of like... because
so they were talking about, the ex-special forces were
right.
going in. So they tried to give something, but they could have given a little bit more.
Give a little tiny bit more.
Yeah.
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 Also, more crews.
Yeah.
More crews.
More crews. And boy, are we going to get it.
We're going to get more crews.
Because that is the theme for this month.
Hell
we are
yeah.
now going to take several other Tom Cruise movies throughout his, like I said, 4-decade-long career.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about him.
Hell yeah.
You know, we're going to try to go... get some diversity in like the genres that he's acted in. Take some things
only action.
It's all action.
It's all action.
We're gonna You know, we're going to try to get things that show different sides of him as a performer. And maybe some things that are exactly what you would expect from him as a performer.
Right.
And see what we can do
see
with
what
it.
We can do, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Yeah, because like we said, as a person, he is questionable to say the least.
Yeah.
Right? That is the most charitable thing I could say. Right? He is a questionable guy. But as a movie star, he's unlike no other, and that deserves to be studied. Right?
Yeah.
But you know, to get there, we got to close here.
That's right.
Right? So that, two to the chest, one to the head, is the shoot.
Bang, bang, bang.
Bang. There Because thanks for listening to this one. I know we got, you know, we really got cruising there talking about Tom Cruise before we even talked about the movie.
That's true.
But
we
were choosing where we were cruising. But I feel like that's an important thing that needed to be discussed, and I'm happy that we did.
Yeah.
Right. So thanks so much for listening. As always, you can hit us up on X.
Twitter. I'm not calling it X.
X. On Twitter at Movie Mayhem Pod.
On Instagram at Movie Mayhem Podcast.
MovieMayhemPodcast@gmail.com.
And on Letterboxd at Movie Mayhem Podcast. The last four that I did, been a while since I said it. Yeah. I did Time Cop.
Really?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Cool.
Bottoms, which is a comedy starring Rachel Sennett and Io Ebery.
Okay.
Really?
Is that new?
Yeah, it's new. It's it's on Amazon. It's really funny.
Cool.
It's
funny.
It is so ridiculous.
Really?
It's super campy, super like, it's pretty fucking gay. But like,
sure, it's called Bottoms.
It's Bottoms, but yeah, like, it's so fucking funny. 80 for Brady, which is
watched it?
One of the most
with Sally Fields.
With Sally Fields, Jane Fonda, Rita Marrero, and Lily Tomlin is one of the most embarrassing movies I've ever seen.
Of course,
not because of, you know, old ladies just fucking around.
Yeah,
it's because of what the NFL did in that movie and how like just masturbatory they are to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Free Guy.
You really didn't like Free Guy.
I hated Free Guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to fucking turn the TV off, but I was like, I gotta finish this.
Did you find it was too self-serving for Ryan Reynolds?
I thought it was like, I felt it's, well, in the pantheon that it is, it's definitely in like the Lego Movie and Barbie are the most like
comparable
to it,
like as far as like subject matter,
right? But at least Barbie tried to say something,
mm-hmm.
and the Lego Movie understood what it was,
mm-hmm.
while this was, it was about nothing for nothing, serving the star.
Well, it was,
it wasn't like they're trying to promote something. They weren't trying to promote like a new video game. They weren't trying to promote like a new company.
But would that have made it better?
No. I mean, a little bit, because you'd be like, well, at least they're like handcuffed to make this thing look good. It's like, no, they're, it's just to make another Deadpool movie without having the rights to Deadpool.
That said, Deadpool 3 could be fun.
Could be.
It's
directed by the guy who did Free Guy, so I don't know. I feel like Ryan Reynolds is in that problem with The Rock that he's had, where he is so much into himself.
Like, he's got his character.
Right. Yeah. He's got his character, and it kind of sucks.
Well, it sucks, I think, more in a PG-13 setting.
Yeah.
I think as Deadpool it works.
Because that's Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, Deadpool's been that character.
They're right.
But, like, all the other characters since Deadpool 1 that Ryan Reynolds has played has been Deadpool.
Yes, I know. And that's like, I definitely see that about Ryan Reynolds and his, Reynolds and his career. But Deadpool could still be good.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any hope for it, but okay.
Whatever. You're cynical.
I am.
Yeah.
If Tom Cruise was Wolverine, then
I thought Free Guy, while obviously nothing to write home about, nothing special, it wasn't offensively bad. Like how you're like.
I'm not saying it's offensively bad. I'm saying it's nothing. I'm saying it's like it's absolutely nothing.
But absolutely nothing is like the Mario movie, you know. And is that you gave Free Guy
1.5 stars, yeah.
Right.
I gave the Mario movie the 3 stars.
Right.
Not 2 or something. It's like, look, if I'm being sold, if I'm going to be sold something, the product better be like real. But if it's like, but I give the Mario movie, Mario. Yeah, 2.5 stars.
Okay. 2.5. It's a whole other star.
It's a whole other star and a half.
Right. So I feel like maybe you're just done with Ryan Reynolds.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know? But also I feel like, you know, like the female lead, like they did nothing for her.
Nothing.
There's nothing there. The antagonist, there's nothing there.
Also, like, the whole thing of like, oh, he had our video game and then blah blah blah. It's like, haven't you heard of like a fucking settlement?
Yeah.
Like, give her money.
Yeah.
Like, you're a multi-million-dollar company and you're about to be a multi-billion-dollar company. Just be like, you want like $10 million? Really check their morality.
Yeah, I would give up on a lot of my morals for $10 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, if I like, you have like, you want $15 million? If I just say, hey, you want $50 million?
Yeah. What? Yeah. What do I gotta do?
Did you want $50 million?
Yes.
There you go. Sold. Like, there's the whole.
No, but it's $50 million to not go forward with your lawsuit.
That
she really wants to do.
Right. But what is it gonna do? It's a self-making video game, so it won't like. That's always so funny about this. Yeah. It's like, you make these things to make money.
Yeah. Right.
And
right,
it's just
right.
Like, oh, like.
No, they did. She did it for the love of the game.
Right. For this open world AI that learns, it's like, no one's gonna like that because like, you don't play it for like a week.
He made Free Guy because he made Ryan Reynolds because he had a crush on her.
Right.
Right. That's how it went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, we will catch you guys in the next one. Yeah, we'll cruise into the next
we'll
one.
We'll have a little bit more fun. Maybe next, we're going to do an older movie, or you want to do...
Let's do an older one.
Okay.
Why, what do you want to do?
Why
don't we do...
I'm going to keep it here long just in case, because, you know...
So, okay.